Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So, discussion has been there about how the Vedas help the conditioned souls rise to higher consciousness, gradually to Krishna consciousness. We're continuing with paragraph 12. Ata tatra tatra vishesham vaktum. Tadiya ev etihasa upakshipyate. Next, in order to specifically describe each of these purposes of the Vedas, the word purposes of the Vedas is not there in the Sanskrit. The Jiva Goswami just uses pronouns as usual. Tatra tatra vishesham vaktum. So we have to understand the vishesha, the particularities in this regard and that regard, means in regard to the various ways, on the various levels on which the Vedas help elevate the conditioned souls. Next, in order to specifically describe each of these purposes of the Vedas, an historical account involving the Vedas is introduced. I have to make a change. It's not a historical account, but an historical account. Let me make a comment. Okay, an historical account involving the Vedas is introduced as follows, with the verse. Sri Sanandana Uvacha Swasrishtam Idam Apiya Shayanam sahashakti bihi tadante bodayam chakrus talingai shudayat param. Sri Sanandana said, after the Supreme Lord withdrew the universe he had previously created, he lay for some time as if asleep, and all his energies rested dormant within him. When the time came for the next creation, the personified Vedas awakened him by chanting his glories. What is Sri Sananda doing here? How come he's talking? How does that introduce the story? What's the connection? I'm sorry. The microphone goes near the mouth.
Yeah. I think somebody is asking question to Narada Muni or someone, and he is narrating the story of.
No, it wasn't Narada Muni. It was
Naranarayan.
Pariksit. Wait a minute. First of all, Pariksit's asking Shukadev.
Oh yeah.
And I think Shukadev. Okay, what happens next?
Then Shukadeva is quoting Naranarayan Rishi and Sananda Sanandana conversation.
Yeah. How does Narada Muni come into it? Okay. Do you have the actual chapter? 1087.
Four Kumaras and Naranarayan Rishi.
Let's research this. Do you have the folio?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a chapter summary?
Yeah.
Narada asked the same question of Narada Narayan. Okay, Shukadev says that this question that you're asking me was asked by Narada of Narada Narayan. Mm. That Narada Narayan, how did he bring in Sananda? He said that I remember that there was a discussion about this on Tapoloka among the sages. And they asked Sanandana about this. Sanandana gave the answer, and he answered by telling a story. That's the sequence. You don't have to look.
I can hear this portion of the...
Well, okay, but... I don't think we need to...
Just was on Janloka. Janloka. King Parikshit asks Sri Shukadeva Goswami how the Vedas can directly refer to the Supreme Absolute Truth, Brahman, since the Vedas deal with the material realm governed by the three modes of nature and Brahman is completely transcendental to these modes. In reply, Shukadeva Goswami described an ancient encounter between Shinarayana Rishi and Narada Muni at Badarikashrama. Traveling to the sacred hermitage, Narada found the Lord surrounded by exalted residents of the nearby village of Kalapa. After bowing down to Narayana Rishi and his associates, Narada submitted the same question to him. In reply, Narayana Rishi related an account of how this very question had been discussed long ago among the great sages living on Janaloka. Once these sages, feeling inquisitive about the nature of the Absolute Truth, chose Sanandana Kumara to speak on the subject. Sanandana told them how the numerous personified Vedas appearing as the first emanations from the breathing of Lord Narayana recited prayers for his glorification just before the creation. Sanandana then proceeded to recite these elaborated prayers.
Okay, thank you. Now here's Sananda's statement. Swasrishtam idam apiya. Apiya means what? What kind of word is it? Is it potential? Not exactly. It's an undeclined participle. Of what verb? Huh? Pa. To drink. With the prefix? To drink up. To completely drink. Idam apia, drinking this. Drinking what? His milk with cardamom? Or what did he drink? This is... Actually, the subject is not mentioned here. But it's implied. Who's doing the drinking here? What is he drinking? It's very, yeah, again, it's just pronouns. Idam, this. Drinking this, and the subject's not even mentioned.
Withdrawing the universe, is it being referred to that? Or?
Yeah. Who's doing the drinking? Yeah, I know, but I want to go to the original Sanskrit. Prabhupada's giving it away to us. I want us we figure it out from the words.
Mahavishnu?
Mahavishnu or Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, okay. And he's drinking the universe. Okay, and it's translated as after the Supreme Lord withdrew the universe he had previously created. Withdrew it. Okay. I ask that because Jiva Goswami is going to comment on that phrase now.
Yes.
So we understand what Jiva Goswami is talking about here. So Jiva Goswami says, Swayam Nirmitam Idam Vishwam Pralaya Samaye Apiya Samvritiya. Okay, let's translate that much. Jiva Goswami says, this is part of the sentence, having swallowed, meaning withdrawn, this, meaning the universe, At the time of annihilation, the Supreme, which means the personality of Godhead, I didn't read the Sanskrit for this. Anyway, you can see that this is a commentary. Jiva Goswami is giving his own commentary, explaining how the words add up to the meaning. And he continues, Shakti bihi saha shayanam, which means prakritim purusham taram shams chatma sat kritya, meaning he was lying down with his energies, saha shakti bi shayanam. And that means, what does that mean, lying down with his energies? It means he was merging nature, the purusha, and their expansions within himself and closing his eyes to their activity. Now what does it mean he's going to sleep, lying down and going to sleep? Jiva Goswami gives the explanation here that he's not paying attention to their activities. He's turning attention away from the material creation. And that's what it means, he's going to sleep. Supreme Lord doesn't get tired, he doesn't have to go to sleep. So, tat karyam prati nimilitaksham param bhagavantam tadante pralaya kalavasana praye talingais tat pratipada kair vakyaik shutayaha prabodayam chakrur. The verse says bodayam chakrur, but literally that means to inform somebody, to let somebody know something. It's being glossed as prabodaya, to wake somebody up. That's the idea. Bud can mean to wake somebody up, but it's not the first literal meaning. Prabud means wake somebody up. Or prabodha means developed intelligence, enlightenment. Prabodhananda, so that doesn't mean the bliss of getting up in the morning, it's the bliss of enlightenment. Or maybe he did like to get up in the morning, I don't know. At the end of this period, tadante is what's in the verse. Again, it's just a pronoun, tad. When, and that's explained by Jiva Goswami, what the tad is, what this ante is. When the time of annihilation was almost finished, the Shrutis woke him up with his characteristic qualities, with words describing these. Okay, Prabhupada explains, like a king is woken up in the morning by his bards, his servants who chant his glories. Pratak prabodana stuti bhangya tushtuvur ityartaha. That is to say, they glorified him in the style of waking someone up with recitation of praise. We're not kings, so we're not used to being woken up in the morning with recitation of our praises, but a king gets that kind of wake up. I guess you could program your computer to wake you up with praises, but that would be a little artificial.
64 hours
to wake up the spiritual master. Okay, I don't think it's much practice nowadays. Asya, usually the spiritual master has to go around and wake up the disciples. Asya bhagavat tvam eva gamyate natu purushatvam. It is implied that he, the subject here, is the personality of Godhead, not the Purusha. We're making a distinction here between Vishnu and Narayan. They're the same person, but the functions are different. Narayan is up in Vaikuntha, enjoying with his devotees. Mahavishnu is sleeping in the material, in the causal ocean, and glancing at Maya. So it's really the Narayan we're talking about here. Anyway, Jiva Goswami makes the distinction that this is Bhagavan, not the Purusha. In Vaikuntha, yeah.
Does that mean that the Vedas are doing, the personified Vedas are doing the same activity in the spiritual world as in the material world in the case of Mahavishnu waking up?
Yeah. The Vedas are there. They're in attendance of Narayan in Vaikuntha. And they're chanting such prayers, yes. It seems that Jiva Goswami wants to specify that this is not the Purusha but Bhagavan. It's not that he's saying it's one person and not another, but he's saying it's a different role. It's the Lord appearing as Bhagavan. Bhagavatvam. He doesn't say it's Bhagavan and not Purusha, but there's Bhagavan-ness, not Purusha-ness. Yes. In fact, maybe I should have translated it differently.
Does it mean that, for example, technically this is Mahavishnu, but he reciprocates to the prayers in the same way as he does it on the spiritual world? As
I can't say. I don't think it's specified where these prayers are actually offered. Is it in the causal ocean? Is it in Vaikuntha? I guess it is Mahavishnu, because they're waking him up for a new creation. But I'm going to change this. I say in the translation, it is implied that he is the personality of Godhead. But I'm going to say instead, he is in the role of. I think that's better translation of the Tvam. Is in the role of, not that of. Let me read the sentence again, modified form. Again, this, it is implied that he is in the role of the personality of Godhead, not in the role of the Purusha. Okay, hold on a second. I have to jump ahead. We have evidence of this, that he's in the role of Bhagavan, not of Purusha, in the a verse in the third canto. Bhagavan eka as edam agra atmat manam vibhu atmechanugatav atma nanamatyupalakshanaha. In the beginning, in the beginning of this creation, the personality of Godhead was alone. The personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, was alone. The all-powerful soul of all souls, the energies under his control being merged within him. He is the Supreme Self, known differently according to various viewpoints. Iti tritiya skanda prakarane tadanim purushasyapi tadantar bhava shravanat. Since we hear in this narration of the third canto that the Purusha is also included inside him in the section that contains the verse, in the verse we just read. So it's when, I guess the idea is when the Purusha stops functioning as the Purusha. The Purusha is in relation with his material energies, the creative energies. There's no, Mahavishnu only exists in relation to the material world. He merges back into Narayan when he's not performing that function. And even when, in between the cycles of creation, when he withdraws within himself, the material energies, and is not paying attention to them, he reverts back to his role as Bhagavan. He's not acting as Purusha, but as Bhagavan. Which means he's doing his pleasure pastimes. and not doing anything with the material creation. And that's why it's said there in the third canto, and also you'll see in the Upanishads some places, that, well, maybe not the Upanishads, but in the third canto, that only Bhagavan was there at the beginning of creation. That doesn't mean the very beginning, that means in between one creation and the next. Before the recreation, only Bhagavan was there. And he says he has his own self within himself, which Jiva Goswami interprets to mean that the Purusha had merged back into him. And it's Narayan sitting there in the causal ocean just before the next creation. And then he acts again, then the Purusha comes out and he acts as Purusha. I could use the microphone.
Why Narayan is sitting in the causal ocean? This place of Mahavishnu, he's supposed to be in Vaikuntha.
I don't know. It's just that Jiva Goswami is making the distinction that it's Bhagavan. Okay, say it's Mahavishnu, but it's Mahavishnu acting as Bhagavan, not acting as Purusha.
Yeah, but because Mahavishnu doesn't have a job in a sense, material creation is annihilated, so then he's merging back into Narayan in the Vaikuntha.
It's just like when someone, when a government officer, you know, is out of office, is put out of office, he reverts back to a private citizen. He reverts back to what he was before.
Yeah.
He doesn't change into a different person, but his job changes. You know, he loses his office.
Oh, okay.
So when Mahavishnu, his term is over, his term as Purusha, as controller of material creation, is over, then he's nothing but Bhagavan.
Okay.
We don't have to call him Narayan. We can call him Mahavishnu, but he's Mahavishnu as Bhagavan, not as Purusha.
Okay.
I didn't make this up. People, Goswami wants to make this distinction. I don't completely understand why. Yeah.
Can I ask, what is the context, what you are trying to discuss in regards to Vedas describing absolute truth in saying these things now?
What is the context of saying this?
What is the point of saying Mahavishnu, annihilation, all these things in reference to the topic of Vedas?
Well, the significance is what the Vedas are going to say. This is setting the scene. That this is the Vedas, I think it's important to understand who's talking and who they're talking to. This is not just anybody talking to anybody, which is not necessarily reliable authority. But this is the Vedas talking directly to the Supreme Lord. So that has to be taken seriously. I think to underline the authority of what they say, that it's them addressing the Supreme Lord directly, in person. Yes, I mean, we can offer a prayer to God. It's one thing to be, wake him up and, you know, go see him early in the morning when he first wakes up and talk to him in person. So they're having a personal audience with the Supreme Lord, and this is what they say to him. So that sets the scene and emphasizes how authoritative what they're going to say is. Yes?
Prabhuji, what is the difference that we say that before the creation, Krishna was only present, and here it is saying that Narayan was present. So what is the difference?
Different realizations. We don't say Krishna here, we say Bhagavan.
Yeah, so Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam.
Well, I don't see any statement, even in the Bhagavatam, that at the beginning of creation only Krishna was there. You know, sitting with, playing his flute. I don't see that statement. Bhagavan. So Narayan. Usually it said Narayan. I don't think the Gopal Tapati Upanishad say that Gopal was there at the beginning of creation?
Prabhuji, this Narayan is also like in Jiva Goswami says Narayana Udbhutam Varnakramaha. So this Narayan is referred to Krishna there, like.
Well, okay, it's like this. Krishna doesn't create the material world directly. He does it through his agents, his expansions. You know, Krishna expands into Baladeva. Baladeva expands into Sankarshan. Sankarshan expands several times. And a later expansion of Sankarshan is Mahavishnu. He sits down and lays down and creates the material world. So when it comes to material creations, things being manifested in the material creation, it's done through the agency of Mahavishnu, who is an expansion of Narayana. That's why we're talking about Narayan and not about Krishna. Because udbhutoyam varna kramaha. Okay, you could say, well, why didn't it come from Krishna? Well, it did come from Krishna in the spiritual world. But as far as we know of the manifestation of the Sanskrit sounds in the material world, they came from the creator, the Purusha. The udbhuta is not tracing it all the way back to the spiritual world, but it's tracing back the manifestation in the material world. And that's coming from Narayana.
There Jiva Goswami gives the explanation of Narayana is, Nara means the Brajavasis, and Ayana means those who always depends on Brajavasis.
Okay, so he's taking Narayana to mean Krishna. Okay, so if you go back to the spiritual world, the sounds are originally coming from Krishna. No problem.
So there's no contradiction. It's both.
It's both.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, so therefore Upanishads will talk about the Atma being there, the Sat being there in the beginning. Different terms are used because people can conceive of the original Supreme in different ways. They have different capacities for conceiving. So different terminologies are used in different Upanishads. Let's read the commentary first and then come back to the questions. It's a short commentary. Did I read the translation? Did I read the last verse? We read the translation? Okay. Commentary. To further clarify his answer to King Pariksit, Sri Shukadev told him this account of the prayers offered by the Shrutis to the Supreme Lord at the time for recreating the material world. Srila Jiva informs us that the prayers were offered not to Mahavishnu, who when the previous creation became dissolved, had merged back into his source, Lord Sankarsana in Vaikuntha. Okay, maybe that's not correct. I'm saying that in between creations, Mahavishnu dissolves back into Narayan. That may not be true. Someone, help me. Anybody have any information about that? What happens between creations to Mahavishnu? When the material world is...
At the very beginning.
It's
like you said, the first expansion of Sankarsana, then the second expansion of Sankarsana, then the second of Yuma. And then the Sankarsana lies down in the Vedanga, the river.
Okay.
This is Sankarsana.
Sankarsana lies down and he becomes Mahavishnu. Does that happen only once, or does that happen in each recreation? I don't know, but I just made a statement that it does happen over and over again, so I may not be correct. I put a question mark on it, so I'll have to think about it and ask. If anybody can come up with an answer to that, let me know. Okay, where can we find that fact? Oh, can we dig one up? This is homework assignment. Someone find a definite statement that when creation is annihilated, Mahavishnu merges back into Sankarsana. I'm saying it here. Let's find some corroboration for that in some Prabhupada's purport somewhere. Okay, this is real editing, you know. If I get this wrong, then devotees are going to complain. I'm sorry. Let me finish the commentary. Hold on to questions until I finish the commentary. One more sentence. In the statement of the third canto from Maitreya Rishi's description to Vidura of the creation of this universe, the Lord, that's the last verse we read. Third canto, it's Maitreya talking to Vidura, describing the creation of this universe. The Lord who remains alone after annihilation is called Bhagawan, not Purusha. Okay, but that doesn't specifically say that Purusha at that time had already had merged back into Bhagawan. It doesn't say that there. Yes?
This universes are created by exhaling by Mahavishnu, and those are destroyed by inhaling. So the time period must be very small. Like you said that when universes are annihilated, then Mahavishnu becomes Sankarshan.
But that means every time he breathes in,
yeah,
he sucked back into his creator, into his what he expanded from. Every time Mahavishnu breathes in, he disappears. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's what. He breathes in and he disappears, and then
how can that happen? Because he breathes in, then he breathes out again.
Because the ocean is the perspiration of Sankarshan. That's how it's described. So.
Whoa, that's. Is it? Because the causal ocean is eternal. Okay, but it's not something that the causal ocean doesn't appear and then come and then go away. It's permanently there. It's not like the causal ocean goes away in between creations. It doesn't. The Garbha ocean, the universe and the Garbha ocean within it, that may be dissolved, but the causal ocean is never dissolved. What about
Paramatma?
Which Paramatma? We have three Paramatmas.
The heart, the living entities.
Kshirdakshay Vishnu.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when all the living entities, when there's no living entities, when there's no universe for you to hold the living entities, and living entities are all sitting inside Garbhadakshay Vishnu, then Kshirdakshay Vishnu is not manifest. He merges back into Garbhadakshay Vishnu.
That is.
Then there's a super soul for the whole universe, Garbhadakshay Vishnu. He continues his role. But Garbhadakshay, this is Kshirdakshay Vishnu's vacation. There's no bodies for him to occupy, so he's on vacation.
And Garbhodakshay Vishnu, what happens?
Well, he's sleeping.
When the whole
but he's still got everything in his body, so he's still the super soul of the universe.
So when the universe is annihilated, he goes back into Mahavishnu. I mean, these things are supported also by Prabhupada. Paramatma.
When the universe. You mean when the universe is totally annihilated?
Hmm.
Yeah, then Garbhadakshay, because each Garbhadakshay Vishnu exists for a particular universe.
Yeah.
If that particular universe goes out of existence, because when Mahavishnu breathes in, those universes are destroyed. When he breathes out again, he creates new universes.
Yeah.
So, Kshirdakshay Vishnu is going to have to vacate because there's no place for him to occupy. The universe is destroyed. Garbhadakshay Vishnu.
Yeah.
So you can say he merges back into Mahavishnu, but he's just a multi-expansion anyway.
Mm.
It's like asking, when you turn off all the television sets, where do the programs go? The receivers are being turned off.
Yeah.
So he's not manifest. There's no universe for him to be manifested in.
Mm.
So his only location then is where he came from Mahavishnu.
Mm. So this is clear that they are merging back into Mahavishnu, both Paramatma, Kshirdakshay Vishnu and Garbhodakshay Vishnu. But only doubt is about Mahavishnu.
We have Garbhodakshay Vishnu merging back into Mahavishnu. But we have our question about Mahavishnu merging back into Narayan.
That's in the fifth chapter of Adi Leela,
Okay, fifth chapter Adi Leela. Okay, maybe you can dig up the actual verse reference for us for tomorrow?
Well, I don't have.
Okay, can somebody find it? Fifth. description of Mahavishnu merging back into Sankarsana in the 5th chapter of the Adi Lila. Please try to find it. Somebody. Okay, any other questions on this paragraph? Sarvajna Prabhu.
Is there any difference when, for example, Vedas approach offer prayers to Mahavishnu or they offer their prayers to Lord Narayana himself? Is there any significance in this? Because you know that the same.
Well, we don't have that many different such prayers recorded. We have the Purusha Sukta, but that's also. The Purusha Sukta is describing Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is considered the deity worshipped by that Sukta, the Purusha Sukta. I don't know of prayers directly offered by the Vedas to Narayan, but we have descriptions in the Padma Purana and elsewhere of the Vedas being present in person at the court of Narayan. They're part of his avarana. They're mentioned in the Pancharatras as being there. But I don't know if we have recorded actual prayers that they offer to Narayan and Vaikuntha. Prayers of the personified Vedas to Narayan and Vaikuntha, I don't think we have that recorded.
So, I'm just trying to understand why Srila Jiva Goswami, he stressed that it wasn't Purusha, but it was Bhagavan who was accepting these prayers. What is the special significance
in
this case?
Because what we're trying to establish by this whole story is that the Vedas can describe Bhagavan. Not only that they can describe Paramatma or Purusha. Because, you know, there are people who admit, yes, the Upanishads talk about Paramatma, they talk about Purusha, but they don't talk about Bhagavan. We're trying to prove that the Vedas do talk about Bhagavan. So that's, I think, why the point is important, that who they're talking to is Bhagavan. And they're going to say, you're like this and you're like that, but they're talking about Bhagavan.
Does it mean that it's like Krishna says?
Because a lot of times they use the second person in the prayers of personified Vedas. The Vedas are talking Tvam. So who's the Tvam? Who is the you? We're establishing right now that that you is Bhagavan, not Purusha.
Does it mean that, like, as Krishna says, yet hamo prapajante, tam sadhaya bhajami ham, that
it's not a question of identity, it's a question of relationship, of realization. It's the same person anyway. Purusha and Bhagavan are the same person, but it's a matter of different roles and different realizations and different relationships.
Maybe. Can it mean like, I'm just guessing now, and I'm not sure, that although it might be Mahavishnu, because Srila Prabhupada in the commentary to this verse, it mentioned that it was Mahavishnu.
Yes.
But although technically it was Mahavishnu, but he was assuming the role of Bhagavan, Narayana, and therefore Vedas, they were repeating the same prayers which they offer in the spiritual world.
Yes. I think I'd take it the other way. It's really Bhagavan assuming the role of the Purusha, not the Purusha assuming the role of Bhagavan. Who he really is Bhagavan in disguise, pretending to be just the Purusha. And then we can understand it that it's not just the Purusha that they're talking to. That Purusha is really Bhagavan. He's not just the creator. He's that same Supreme Lord who enjoys in the spiritual world. It's the same person.
And because Vedas, they know the truth, they approach him not as a Purusha, but as a Bhagavan in their prayers.
Right. That what they're talking about is Bhagavan. They're talking in the second person about you, but they're describing him as Bhagavan. Yes.
Prabhu, the breathing indicates the influence of time, because like our life, the time period is defined by breathing. So Mahavishnu breathes, so is he also have influence of time, or is it just the Leela, like Krishna must be breathing, but it's like a pastime?
It's a pastime. It doesn't measure the duration of his existence. He doesn't go out of existence, he doesn't die after he's used up his breaths. But the process of creation, I remember some description of Mahavishnu getting up. Not that the causal illusion goes out of existence, but Mahavishnu stops lying down and merges back into Sankarshan. So there's a certain period of creations over and over again, and then it stops. You know, he stops being Mahavishnu. So that's when he stops breathing. Now he doesn't die, but he just goes back to being Sankarshan. And then he might become Mahavishnu again later on. But you see, so he stops breathing, but it doesn't mean it's the end of his life.
In this case, when we say that both spiritual and material energies, they are internal. So when we say that this all material energy, they go back to Narayana, to Mahavishnu, then Mahavishnu merges. So does that mean that at that time, material energy doesn't exist at all?
Well, material energies don't continue to exist. They're in seed form in the Mahatattva. They're in their ultimate basic form in the Pradhan. But when the Pradhan, my Pradhan is eternal, Pradhan doesn't dissolve. But it always stays separate. The Pradhan doesn't go to the spiritual world. It doesn't go back to Vaikuntha. The Pradhan is always in the causal ocean. So the material elements themselves don't merge back into the spiritual energy. They don't. They stay separate. Is that okay?
Yes. It makes sense that Mahavishnu he as you said once that he this universe is just a skeleton for the material element to go when you say that from the pores of the skin of Mahavishnu this universe is emanate is only some forms of these energies, but then this material element that they go inside looks like. So looks like when this dissolution happens, just he withdraws back all these universes. But material energy means pradhana. He stays separate.
But everything goes back into pradhana. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say that like people normally when they perspire. When you breathe out, and then you breathe in new air. But when you perspire, you don't unperspire and suck the water back into you. There's no reverse process in perspiration. So I don't know whether I don't think it's that the bubbles, the eggs go back into Mahavishnu, any more than anybody unperspires withdraws the perspiration.
So those
just dissolve, and everything goes back. All the material substance goes back into the Pradhan, and Pradhan is eternal. Pradhan never is never dissolved. It just sits there. Even if Mahavishnu is not there and not looking at her, even if he goes away, she's just sitting there waiting in the causal ocean.
But in this verse, it was said that he swallowed Idamishvam. He swallowed it. So
I'm sorry. What is that?
Srila Guru Goswami, he just said in this verse, in the beginning, that he swallowed
Idam.
Svayam nirmitam idam vishvam pravaya samaye apiya sampritya shaktipik saha shayanam prakritim purusham and so on. So he swallowed.
That's Garbhadakshay Vishnu having. Okay, is this Garbhadakshay Vishnu or Mahavishnu? It's probably Garbhadakshay Vishnu. The universe has been... This is the periodic creation and recreation of the universe. Okay, let's say it's Mahavishnu. I think it's the jivas, their karma, time and the swabhavas of the jivas that reside in the body of Mahavishnu. The material substances go back into Prakriti. So the spiritual energies go back into Mahavishnu, but the material energies reside in Prakriti, in Pradhan.
So finally we get Mahavishnu, he merges back to Lord Sankarshana, the spiritual world, and Pradhana stays itself in the...
Yeah, she just waits around for Mahavishnu to come back. Okay, we pretty much used our time. We can have one more question.
But isn't the material creation also enters into Mahavishnu's body? I thought it refers to the material creation, you know, it refers to...
It's... Okay, you can take that as a second homework assignment, find a definite statement about that. That is the material energy that goes into Mahavishnu.
Because it comes out of Mahavishnu's body, the balls.
No, what comes out of his body are the empty shells.
Okay.
But the ingredients come from Pradhan. He glances at two things happen. He's perspiring, but he also glanced at Pradhan just before he fell asleep. And that set her into action. And the Mahatattva and the elements evolved from her. They didn't evolve inside the belly of Mahavishnu. They evolved inside Pradhan.
But then again...
How'd they get there? If they were in Mahavishnu, what are they doing in Pradhan?
But then how we say that Eko Havai Narayana Asit Na Brahma Nishanaha, before creation only Narayana's days are Garbhodesh,
well,
Mahavishnu.
That's because Pradhan is totally unmanifest. Mm-hmm. So she's there, but nobody can see her. She's totally unmanifest.
Mm-hmm.
Because perfect equilibrium, nothing is happening, nothing is manifest.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say nothing else is there. Actually, the material energy is there, and it is separate. I don't know. You can check me on this. Maybe I'm being influenced by Madhvacharya, who says that Pradhan is eternal. But Baladeva Vibhushan in the Govinda Bhash confirms that material nature in your original form is eternal.
Yes.
Okay. Fourth canto, fourth chapter.
12, 4.
Okay. Okay, I'll go home and look at that one. And
okay.
Everyone else try to find some other references. That says that Pradhan goes back into Mahavishnu. Okay, Pradhana can be eternal and still go sit inside Mahavishnu. Okay. Okay, but she doesn't go out of existence.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes time to create, she's out there. Somehow she got outside of Mahavishnu. And then he glances at her and impregnates her with time and the jivas and their karma. What comes out of Vishnu?
Kamadevi, the spiritual potency. And from this spiritual potency comes
out of spiritual potency comes out of Mahavishnu?
From his glands in Shambhu. And from Shambhu comes this Kamadevi, the consort of Shambhu, spiritual potency. And from
that's Durga. That's Prakriti.
And from this Kamadevi comes Maya, and Maya comprises Pradhan. And Vidya. That's the way I understand it. So, Ramadevi.
Okay. So it's actually coming out of the glands. Because Shambhu is the. This is Brahma Samhita explaining. Shambhu is the shadow, the penumbra. The
glands.
No, he's the. Not the whole glands. He's the penumbrum. He's the outside, you know, halo of the glance. And then his consort is there also coming out of the glance. Is that right? Okay, so that's 12. Okay, that's Brahma Samhita at the beginning. Okay, we'll have to look at this. Anybody wants to look at these two sources and report on them, I'll also try to look and we'll discuss it tomorrow. Brahma Samhita, the beginning describing Shambhu and Durga coming out of the glance of Mahavishnu. And 12th canto, 4th, describing Prakriti merging back into Mahavishnu. We'll look at those, okay. Okay, that's three different sources, okay. Okay, that's some material to work with. But please, if you can do some research into these three topics, then we'll discuss it tomorrow. Okay, thank you, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.